Chris did a great job speaking about the Great Commission. Now, it was Trinity Sunday. It's when we remember God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the reading was Jesus saying to his disciples, go, and I want you to make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is very much in the Bible. It's very much the God that we worship expressed as Father, Son, and Spirit. And of course, that was the week after Pentecost, where we remembered the Holy Spirit coming and touching his church, filling his disciples with confidence and power, where previously they'd been terrified and hiding in a room. Suddenly, the miraculous signs of God had driven them out and caused them to be able to speak of God's love and God's goodness to those who perhaps didn't know about it before. Well, what we're going to do from now up until the summer is continue that journey in saying, well, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Someone who is a disciple of Jesus and someone who makes disciples of Jesus. Because that's what the Father wants for all humanity. He's created us all for an intimate relationship with him. He's made it possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus, and he makes it available through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's why we're here. So that we can bring that invitation to all of the young people and the young adults who live in the centre of Greater Manchester. Jesus loves you. And a couple of weeks ago, in fact, last week, I remember mentioning it, the Lord gave me a picture of a pit. And those of you who've read Pilgrim's Progress will remember the story of Christian who gets stuck in the pit. And he needed someone to come in and grab him out of the pit. And a few weeks ago, as people gathered together to mourn the loss from the terror attacks, and as people laid flowers at St. Anne's Square and gathered for the One Love Conference and tried to work out what can we do. We'll give money to support people. People wanted to know what to do. There was an amazing sense of togetherness, an amazing sense of defiance, an amazing sense that we're in this together. The challenge is this. We're in the pit together. Because as that guy said to me the day after the attacks, he said, well, we need to trust in our humanity, don't we? No. No, let's not trust in our humanity, because that's what happened. It was humanity that did these awful things. It was humanity, whatever errors were made, that allowed the fire this week to destroy so many people's lives in London. That was humanity. I don't want to trust in humanity. I want to trust in the God who has demonstrated his love by coming down and stretching down into the pit and pulling us out. But he didn't pull us out to clean us up so that we could build a nice building and stay inside it and talk about how relieved we are not to be in the pit anymore. Yes, he cleaned us up. And yes, it's great to remember that he's delivered us and we can celebrate the goodness of God. But the invitation for us is to join him in reaching down and helping others get out of the pit. And so we're going to begin to look today at the strategy that Jesus had. And to be honest for a moment, if you're visitors here today, this bit's not for you. You're welcome to listen, but this isn't for you. But those of us who've been here for a little while, let's be honest, this year has not gone the way that we wanted it to go. We launched in September, in fact, the very late stages of August, on a boiling hot day. Super excited about getting out and sharing the good news of Jesus. And we found that for the first 6 months at least, we had to work on an extremely dirty church to try and make this place actually look like it was somewhere we wanted to invite people. It was a real challenge. It turns out that when you're having to offer blankets to people to stay warm, it's not the most hospitable place in the world. It turns out that a whole bunch of people came in and was like, well, this is lovely, but I'm freezing. I'm off. When you can see your breath in worship, that's not what we were aiming for. I could spend a whole hour telling you all the challenges that we faced, but that's not the point. The point is this. What I believe the Lord has been doing for us this year is helping us build a foundation upon which we then leap from. And as staff team, we've been talking and beginning to dream and think towards September as people move into the city, as they come back from holidays, as new students come in. What is it that we can do that we wish we could have done last year, but it turned out that we couldn't? Because so many things kind of tripped us up in the middle of it. We say no to those things. We stand in defiance of those things that are going to stand against us bringing the gospel and the good news to the young people and the young adults of Central Greater Manchester. Amen? Amen. All right, guess you can listen in a bit now. There are 40,000 young adults who live in the city centre. There's 20,000 students just in the University of Salford. That is why we're here. That's our remit, that's our calling, and it's our vision. The way Jesus described it is that the harvest is plentiful. It could feel overwhelming. In fact, sometimes it really does. It's felt incredibly overwhelming trying to sort this building out and trying to reach out to 60,000 young adults. How do we do that? I've only got 7 days a week and a limited amount of time at that, and so have we all. But what can we do then? How do we not be overwhelmed? What does Jesus have to say about this mission that he's called us to? Well, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, and Alice is going to come and read to us.
Okay. Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his twelve disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter the town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals, a staff for the worker who is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it, and in that time you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes."
That's good. Thanks, Alice. It's perfect reading for Father's Day, isn't it? Wow. Children rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Happy Father's Day. Thanks, Alice. Another verse that jumped out at me and I meant to mention is when it talked about being shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. You know, last week, perhaps you don't know, but Naomi, one of our friends here, had a bag stolen. Please be vigilant about your bags. This is a public space. And we sadly can't trust everybody, but that's why we've locked these west doors, because we want to be shrewd. We need to protect our kids and our young people and the assets that we have here. So this is going to be our main door, and thanks for understanding that. If you want to give a gift to Naomi, because, and if you haven't had a chance to do it, there's a basket at the back. I'd love to be able to give some money to her, because whilst they're going to cover the car that was stolen, they're not covering the bag and the contents that was in it. So it would be great if we could be a blessing to Naomi and to Paul, because she was here serving last week and someone just came and nicked her bag. Anyway, there you go. All right. Keep your Bibles open, because we're going to go through it step by step. I don't often do this, but today we're going to chapter 9, verse 35. This is Jesus' strategy for mission. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Jesus told people about God and then demonstrated the power of God. And then in 10 verse 1, he says to his disciples, "Now it's your turn. Go and tell people about God and demonstrate the power of God." Jesus, first point, doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't done himself. He's asking us just to do the same thing as him. So when he's asking us to do this stuff, that's what he's done. That's what he's longing to do. And the way that he's going to make it happen in our day and age is by us stepping up and into that role. Verse 36, he saw that the people were harassed and helpless. And what? He had compassion on them. These were people who were meant to be living by God's rules and laws. These were meant to be the chosen people of Israel. And yet Jesus didn't judge them where he could have easily stood in judgment on them and gone, "Oh, you haven't got it right. And oh, you should be doing this, that, and the other." Jesus had compassion on them. Our response to those who might be different to us, who might not yet know Jesus for whatever reason, we can't assume people to be living Christian lives if they don't follow Jesus. You know, I hear some Christians talk about, "Oh, I can't, I just don't know why, I don't know why they do that. It's unbelievable. This is meant to be a Christian country." I'm like, well, if you're not following Jesus, why would you live like a Christian? Let's give over the judgment thing and start on the compassion thing, just like Jesus. But verse 37, Jesus saw that he couldn't do it all on his own. He needed disciples to play their part, and he told them to do what? To pray. Prayer is where it all starts. Prayer is the source of it all. Because in prayer, we connect afresh with God and see his heart for those who don't yet know him. In prayer, we recognize that he's the one who is the power by whom people might get healed or set free. We can't do it. I can't heal anyone. I can lay my hand and look friendly upon someone and pretend to be a Reiki healer, but I don't know what I'm doing. The Holy Spirit can. He's the one who can transform people's lives. And it's been amazing to have some stories of healing even here. So 2 weeks ago at Alpha, we talked about healing, and on my table, the four of us prayed for each other. And then a week later, we came back and each one of us had had some measure of healing because the Holy Spirit had touched each one of us. Now, none of us were completely healed, but each one of us had a touch of God's healing power. That's what we want to see more of. And the only way it's going to happen is through prayer. We pray that workers would be sent out into the harvest. That's you and me. We pray for that. It's not easy. We'll see that in a minute. It's not always the most fun thing to do, but Jesus calls us to pray for ourselves, therefore, and for each other. Pray for confidence in the harvest. Pray that you actually get out into the harvest. Pray that you don't build a nice building away from the pit, relieved that you're no longer in it. But pray that you have the confidence to reach down into the pit and help to pull some people out as well. That's why in Thy Kingdom Come, we're saying, think of three actual people that you know that you can pray for. That's why we're saying each day, pray at 7 in the morning and 12 at noon and 7 in the night, so we have a rhythm of prayer in our lives, so that prayer becomes the source of the mission that God has called us to do. Then as Jesus commissions his disciples in chapter 10, he talks about the authority that's been given to us. Chris did a great job talking about this. We have both power and authority to do the things that Jesus did. So when we're praying for each other at church, it's not just because we want each other at church to receive a touch of God. It's so that we can get better at doing it when we're not at church. When we pray for each other in our connect groups, it's not just so that we can support one another. It's so that next day when we're in the office, or next day we're in the lab, or next day when we're in the lecture room and we're talking to somebody and they say something that they're struggling with, we can say, "Can I pray for you?" Because we've grown in the confidence of what it means to pray for other people. So we pray because we need the power to step into the authority. And then verse 5 and 6, Jesus had a laser sharp focus. He said, "I don't want you to go to the Gentiles and I don't want you to go to the Samaritans. I want you to go to the lost sheep of Israel. Those are the people to focus on." And here, our laser sharp focus is the young people and the young adults who live in the centre of Greater Manchester, i.e. the city centre. Here, this bit and bleeding out into the east. There's 40,000 young adults that are living there. That's the mission. We could do loads of things as a church. We really could. There is so much need. There is so much opportunity. But the one thing that God has called us to do, the one thing the bishop has asked us to do, is to reach out to the young people and the young adults. That's why in a few weeks' time, a family called the Wisdoms, Jez and Ali, are moving here from Burundi in Africa to lead our Eden team. How good is that? Eden is a group of people who choose to live alongside the most deprived and reach out with a laser-sharp focus to the young people in that community. So in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to be welcoming this family with us. It's going to be a fantastic time for us to be generous with our stuff. That's a hint, by the way. We're going to need to gather some stuff to help them as they move back into our culture. We're going to be a blessing to them. And as they begin to do this journey of life, they're going to be laser sharp focused on reaching the young people who have grown up in some of the poorest parts of our city. That's not all of us that are going to necessarily be involved in that, but it's a part of what we do. Because many of us are going to be called to reach the professionals. Many of us will be going to be called to reach the students, those who perhaps have more stuff than the most deprived. But it's going to be another arrow in our bow. That's not the right phrase to use, is it? Arrow in our quiver. You know what a quiver is? Anyway, we won't go to Robin Hood. I've got a lot to say. All right, so we need a laser-sharp focus. That's the focus. That's what defines what it is that we're going to do. That defines the decisions we make, and I'm not going to say sorry for it. We're here to see young people and young adults come to know Jesus. Then verse 7, Jesus said to pray for the miraculous, and the miraculous will underline the preaching. You can talk all day about God, but as Najib was telling us, what we really need is for people to experience the power of God. And Jesus has said that he will follow up his word with his power. Don't believe him. Give it a try. It's on him, not on you, whether he follows up with it or not. You don't have to make excuses for him. He's big enough. But if someone tells you that they're struggling, you can say, "I'd love to pray for you. Jesus loves you. The kingdom of God is near you." I don't know if you've ever told anybody that. I don't know if you've ever said, "By the way, God's near you. God's with you." What? It's quite fun to see the reactions. Our Father wants to stretch out and heal. He's a good, good Father. And he did it through Jesus, and he longs to do it through us. Then verses 9 to 13, I wish I had longer to talk to you about this, because this is the key in all of it. Search for a worthy person or a person of peace. Now, a person of peace does three things. Jesus says, "I don't want you to go with anything because I want you to be dependent on other people's hospitality." because that will be the sign that I'm at work in their lives. And a person of peace welcomes you. They let you stay in their home. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go and visit people's homes and say, hi, can I stay? But welcome is important, you know? They welcome you. They listen to you. They understand that you are here declaring the good news of the kingdom of God, that Jesus saves, and they are welcoming you and listening to that, and they are offering you hospitality. That's the third thing. They welcome you, they listen to you, and they offer you hospitality. Jesus doesn't say, when you're going to the pit to try and help people out of it, find the person who's refusing to come out and try and get them. That's stupid. Jesus says there's going to be a whole bunch of people in the pit saying, I'd love some help. Go for them. That's what he's trying to say. And the way that you spot those people who are longing to be saved is that they listen to you. Sorry, that they welcome you, that they listen to you, that they offer you hospitality. Now, in a way, this can become a bit like a friend. But this is the challenge of this part of Scripture, is I've heard lots of people say, oh, I've got a person of peace. What they actually mean is I've made a new friend. Because there's a difference. A person of peace is someone who's coming on a discipleship journey with you. That they're responding to Jesus as you speak to them about it. A friend is someone who likes you and perhaps tolerates the fact that you talk about Jesus, but frankly has absolutely no interest at all. You see the difference? Let's not pretend that just because we've made a new friend, we've got a person of peace. But Jesus says, look for the person of peace, because that's where I am already working. All right, verses 14 to 15. What if someone doesn't welcome you? Don't worry about it. Leave. In fact, a little bit later on, Jesus says, if you start getting persecuted, find somewhere else to be. Don't be an idiot, is what Jesus is saying. Don't try and batter someone over the head with the good news of Jesus if they don't want to hear. Why? Because Jesus didn't do it either. Do you remember when he went back to his hometown in Capernaum? He started praying for people and not very many people got healed because they didn't really have faith. But what did he do? He left, found somewhere else to go. If someone's not hearing the good news of Jesus or is being resistant to it, they're resisting Jesus, not you. Because verses 16 to 18, Jesus never makes the suggestion that this is easy. It wasn't easy for him. Look where it got him, hanging on a cross. We'll talk a little bit more next week about the cost of discipleship as Jesus talks more about it. But here's the reality that we'll press into more next week. If Jesus gave his life for us, all he's asking of us is to do the same in response. That we'd give our very lives and say, Lord, I don't really care about my reputation. I care about yours. I want to see your kingdom come in the lives of others. It's not going to be easy. Hey guys, I'm sending you out like sheep. Oh great, okay. Among wolves. What? You mean like the wolves that eat the sheep? Yeah, it's going to be just like that. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. What? So be as wise as snakes, as shrewd as snakes, and as innocent as doves. Verse 19 to 20, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about it, because it's the Holy Spirit in you that's at work. He's the one who gives us the confidence. He's the one who speaks. So what does this mean for us then as a church? Well, first, it means that Chris said last week, we've just got to grow in our confidence of God. You know, I was on the train coming home from Bristol, down in Bristol on Tuesday, and I was on the train. And I had an amazing conversation with two young adults who live and work in Manchester City Centre. I was talking to them about life and relationships and faith. People are open, especially in the midst of these terror attacks. If you don't know what to say, just steal my analogy of the pit. Because as I've said that analogy to people who have no concept of faith, that here we are standing together in the pit, defying the darkness, but still in the darkness, people nod because they get it. Just steal it and use it and then offer them Jesus. And that's all I did on the train. And we spoke for 2.5 hours on the train journey home. I'm sure there were some passengers who were deeply irritated by our conversation. But it was amazing to talk with them and to speak with them about the love that Jesus has for them. We need to be confident in what God has given to us. And we need this laser sharp focus. We're here to invite the young adults of this city to get to know Jesus. And so in a couple of weeks' time, when Chris has a launch party for his album, everybody, whoop. I know. So Chris's album is coming out and we're having a launch party here and we're getting some other bands in. The reason we're doing that isn't just to celebrate Chris, and it's not just so that he can sell a few copies. It's so that, which of course I'm hoping we will. Yeah, that would be good. It's so that we're putting on an event that we can invite people to. The reason we gather here on a Sunday morning in a public building isn't because we don't want people to come. It's that we do. So let's start inviting people to come. And let's focus our attention on those who are young adults. So when it comes to our planning for the other side of summer, when people are back from holidays, like I said, so we're planning on the Saturdays running up through September to the launch of Alpha. Alpha starts again on October the 4th. This is my invitation, right? It's June. Who are you going to bring to Alpha in October? All right, you've got 4 months' notice. And we're going to go out on the Saturdays running up to that into Spinning Fields and into Castle Fields and into Media City and out here on the road, just inviting people to Alpha. And I want you to join us and I want you to come, because it's us as a church, not just the clergy or the staff team or the Alpha team. We're going to do it and we're going to do Alpha, and we're going to see God's kingdom come in the lives of young people and young adults in our city centre. Are you up for it? Great, Chris's, that's brilliant. Okay, we can't leave it to the ones who are good at it. Like, Lizzie does this like she's falling off a log. She's so good at it, and I suck at it. I really don't feel very confident at it, which is why talking to people on the train, it was the most unnatural thing for me to do, but the Holy Spirit just kept going like this. When are you going to start talking to them? Oh, but Lord, I'm doing emails. I don't care. When are you going to start talking to them? Oh, but Lord, I've got this important thing to plan. Gareth, I'm here for the young people and young adults in Manchester City Centre. Who cares about your emails? Oh, yeah. And then have an amazing conversation. Don't start the conversation with how sinful they are. I don't know if you've been taught to do that. I was. Just start to tell people, you know, how bad they are. People know they don't need your help. Jesus didn't do that. The kingdom of God is near you. Find people who welcome you. Find people who listen to you. Find people who offer you hospitality as you're seeking to share the good news of Jesus. Those are the ones who are responding to him. It's not easy. You may get treated like Jesus. Well, no servant is greater than his master, but that's next week. So, for example, when we do a ladies' night like Lizzie did with some of the ladies, woo, on Friday night, that's an invitational event. July 15th, when we launch this album, it's an invitational event. It's not just for us. Those three people that you're praying for, invite them. Who are the people that God is giving to you? Who are your people of peace?